Hey, seriously, thanks for being here today. Just appreciate each and every one of you being here this morning. I know this is one of those Sundays when it'd be easy to just stay home and drink hot cocoa. And if that's what you're doing right now, hey, we're not upset. That's okay. We just wish you were here, but we're glad you're wherever you are and tuning in today. But hey, this awesome group of people here this morning. Will you give it up for our dream team of worship? Kids, people that are serving our kids, come on. Isn't that awesome? Tell them how much you appreciate them when you pick up your kids later. And just love on them because we appreciate everybody being here today. Hey, I want to give you an update today. It's a really significant Sunday because we're going to update you on the miracle offering of what was received last week. Last week, we received, just in the miracle offering alone, $65,000. Isn't that awesome? Just miracle offering designation. And so that was awesome. Next slide. That was 65% about of what our goal is of $100,000. So we're well on our way toward our goal to be able to make that happen. And we already have the $30,000 to be able to send to our friends in Europe, and it's going to get doubled and turn into $60,000 to help reach Europe. So it makes some noise for that, because that's awesome. So we already have that handled. But then there's other projects that we're needing to do. But the good news is that 65% came from 103 givers. 103 giving units gave toward the miracle offering. And so what that translates into is about 20% of our church family gave last week. So the good news is we should overshoot the $100,000 if everyone participates. Because our goal, besides the $100,000, is 100% participation. And this is where you can think, well, hey, all I'm able to do is this much. And I've told Rochelle, I said, you know, these things that you got to pay $10 a month, or what? You how many know what I'm talking about? $10. It's just $10 a month, or you know, $30 a month, or what? Yeah, everybody wants $30 or $25 or $10 a month and whatever. And I said, if I had the whole country sending me $10 a month, hey, how many know that's going to be a lot of money, right? And so, same principle. If everybody in the church would do something, it would make a difference, all right? It would make a difference. And so, as we all participate, I know we're going to go over the goal here in December. Our deadline is December 31st. And so if you haven't given yet, and there are many of you that haven't given yet, then just go online or write a check, whatever works for you. I know most of us give online. But make sure you do your part. And prayerfully think about what that is. And I know God will help you to know what that is and will help you to do whatever it is that he's asking you to do to participate. And when we all do it together, it'll make a huge difference. So, and if you're a gap closer kind of personality, that you're like, we need to close that gap. That's $65,000 and the goal is $100,000. You know, what more can I do? Then now's the time to do that and help make up the gap so that we can get all the things accomplished. We know one of the things we want to do this year is replace this carpet, and you'll know that when we move the chairs, okay? Because there's a lot of rips and tears and stains and different things like that. It's been here since the building opened up, and it's time. And so that's one of our things that we're going to do, and some other projects as well that we need to do, plus outreach that we want to do local as well. And so there's just so much that's involved in this miracle offering to help us to be able to do all the things we feel like the Lord wants us to do over the next year. So enough said. You get the picture. Let's all do our part. And as we all do our part, God will add his part as well. Today, we're in part 3 of our series from Isaiah chapter 9, where Isaiah has this incredible imagery of Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus. I mean, he sees into the future and writes down for us some unique things about who Jesus will be. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Here's what Isaiah says. For to us a child is born. He says there's going to be a baby. This is how God's going to save the world. It's going to come through a baby. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. If you weren't here for that message, I encourage you to go back. You can go back and watch it, listen to it on podcast, whatever works for you. Last week, we talked about the Mighty God. Very encouraging message about the power of God. And if you need the power of God in your life, then listen. Go back, watch that message, listen to that message, and be encouraged about the Mighty God. Today, we're looking at the Everlasting Father, and next week will be on the Prince of Peace. And that'll be a powerful message. And I would encourage and invite people who maybe don't have peace in their hearts, in their lives, because that will minister to them. But today we want to look at the Everlasting Father, which I think is unusual because Jesus is called the Son of God. And yet here it says he's going to be called the Everlasting Father. And if you grew up like I did, and here's how we view the Bible, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, it's one of the greatest mysteries of three in one. Like, it's not three different gods. It's not like Zeus and Hercules and different things. It's all one God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, yet distinct in the way that we encounter them. And so Jesus being the Son of God, how is he called the Everlasting Father? Well, check it out. In John, John was a person who walked with Jesus every day for 3.5 years. And then became a powerful person in the early church as well. Here's what he heard Jesus say on at least one occasion. He said this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish." Look at what else Jesus says. "No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else." Isn't that good news? Nobody can snatch you out of the hand of God. Have you ever had the devil try to talk you out of your salvation and say, "You know what, you're not really saved, and you're not really, you know, you're just, I can do whatever I want with your life and whatever," and he just, "Hey, no, devil. Here's what God says. No one can snatch me out of the almighty hand of God. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. Now check out verse 30. The Father and I are one. And so Jesus on another occasion said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so when Isaiah is saying he's going to be called an everlasting Father, I think we see this in Jesus. Because Jesus says, well, when you see me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. We're not different in that I'm a God and he's a God and things like that. Instead, I think Jesus is part of how we see the Father's heart. Because when Jesus came to this world, he came revealing the Father to us. But here's the danger with this today, is that the word Father can stir up some different connotations, some different memories. It can stir up some emotions. It can elicit pictures to us, images that maybe don't really make us go to a happy place. But others of us, maybe when you hear the word Father, it does take you to a happy place, because you do have happy memories. You do think about good times with your father and just how he was in your life. And you've got good memories of that. And I would say if you're here and you have good memories of your father, you should just raise both hands and praise God and thank him for that. Because that is not the case with everyone. There are many people that did not have that experience. And what's dangerous about this is if we project our image of the Father in heaven from our earthly experience of Father on earth. And so what happens is, if you had a father who wasn't, you know, there or whatever, or maybe what he was there, but you just never could measure up. You know, maybe you had one of those kind of dads where, you know, you did your best and everything, you're waiting on him to, you know, thank God for you, and just, you know, you did your best and whatever, but instead, hey, you didn't win. Hey, I wasn't, you know, I was embarrassed. Or they said, you're just a loser. Or, you know, you were a mistake. And there's words that maybe just ripped you up inside. Maybe even today it affects you. But when we look at our Heavenly Father through the lens of an earthly father, it gives us a skewed picture of our Heavenly Father, especially if maybe you grew up with angry dad. You just didn't know who was going to come home from work. You know, is it going to be okay dad, or is it going to be mad dad that's upset, that didn't have a good day, and now he's going to take it out on everybody in the house? Maybe you walked on eggshells. Maybe he just never was satisfied, and you never felt love from him, maybe even one time. But I want you to look at what the Scripture says about who our Father is, okay? In Jeremiah 31:3, check this out. The Lord appeared to us in the past, and here's what the Lord said. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you out with unfailing kindness. Isn't that awesome? Unfailing kindness. In other words, God never came home angry, kind of thing. God never... It's like one day he's kind of like this, but then the next day he's like this. Or maybe you grew up with a picture of God being this white-haired old dude on a throne, you know, with a big stick. And just every once in a while, whack, you know, kind of like whack-a-mole, you know, kind of just, oh, you think you're all that, huh? Well, take this, whack. And maybe you kind of had a picture of that, of God. I've known people like that. That is not the picture the Bible presents to us. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do over the next few moments. Will you put aside whatever experience you have had with an earthly father and just put that to the side for a moment? Will you just put that over to the side and let's look at how God describes himself. Let's look at how Jesus reveals to us the Father. All right, everybody ready to do that? Okay, our everlasting Father, here's who he is that Isaiah saw hundreds of years before he came. He is always compassionate. Maybe you need to write that down. He's always compassionate. Let me prove it to you. In Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Now, to all the Bible nerds out there, you may not know this, so listen up. This is the most mentioned description of God in the Bible. This verse, these words here of always compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, is repeated over 12 times in the scripture. In other words, God really wants you to get this. Okay? He really wants you to believe this because it would be powerful if he said it once. At least to me, okay? All right? I mean, if I read it once, I'm like, okay, that's what God says. But over 12 times, he says this. And in Matthew chapter 11, here's how Jesus revealed it. In Matthew 11, 28, at least on one occasion, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will whack you on the head." No, that's not what he said, is it? He says, "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Here's who I am. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Oh, doesn't that feel good? I don't have to fear coming to him. I can go to him and know that he loves me. If there's one thing that I want you to get from this message today, it is that God is compassionate. Amen. Amen. He is compassionate toward you. He cares for you. He is not angry with you. He wants to love on you. That's what he wants to do in your life. He loves you, and listen to this, he's got plans for you as well. I'll prove it to you in Jeremiah 29:11. Here's what it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you," and check this out, "not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You see, he's got some plans for you. Oh, I've got plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you hope and a future. You see, your earthly father may have had different plans. And I'm sorry if you had a rough experience growing up. If you grew up with a father who was never satisfied and you could never please him, you tried to earn his approval, but it seemed like you always fell short. I just want you to know Jesus presents to us a totally different picture of our Heavenly Father. He is so different from that. Isaiah 43, again, this is Isaiah a little bit later. Here's what he says. But now, Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. Listen to your Creator. This is what your Creator says. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through deep waters, anybody ever been there? I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, anybody having that? He doesn't say you won't have rivers of difficulty, but look at what he says. You will not drown. And when you walk through the fire of oppression, anybody feel attacked? You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours. Because, why? You are precious to me. You are honored, God says. And I love you. Isn't that awesome? Oh, isn't that incredible? Wow, doesn't that feel good? You know, read it again when you get home today and put your name in there. Because, yeah, that's what God says. That's what he declares. You're precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. I love you. I love you. And then in Isaiah, I want to read this. Isaiah kind of sees a little different picture of God. He sees not just the fatherhood of God, but how God's kind of like a mom, too. And just how moms want to draw their children near to them. I can remember when Alexis was born, and we were in the hospital, and we had the option. Rochelle had a C-section, and so there was a lot of, you know, surgery recovery, obviously, from giving birth to our daughter. And so they were like, you know, hey, we can keep her down the hall here in the nursery for you if you would like. And we were like, no. That's fine. She can just be right in here. And so Rochelle had her right up next to the bed. She was in one of these clear little bassinet things, you know. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been in the hospital and see one of these things? And so you can just look through it. And Alexis just looking at us, you know, all wound up and wrapped up. And we were just, you know, a little family there in the hospital. And we didn't know anything at that point. And the nurse later, I don't know how long later, came by and said, well, how are you guys doing? And I said, oh, we're doing good. She's right here and everything. And they said, well, how did changing her go? And we said, oh, we're supposed to do that. And it's like, yeah, you had her in the room, you know. So we go, oh, we'll fix that. But I'm just telling you, we wanted her close. You know what I'm saying? We wanted her close to us. And here's what God says about that. And Isaiah, he uses Isaiah again to give this picture. And here's the words of God through Isaiah 49, verse 15. Check it out. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Now watch what God says. Even these may forget. He says there could be people in the world that as a mom turn their backs on their kids. He says, "That I'll give you that. That could happen." But he's not done talking. He says, "Yet I will not forget you." You could have a parent walk out on you, but God says, "That's not who I am. That's not how I operate." Even though there's this pull, this tug, and so he uses both the father and the mother as imagery to us that, listen, I'm crazy about you. I love you with an everlasting love. I am a God of compassion and mercy. I am a God who is faithful, and I love you. And listen, I just want to say to every parent today, take delight in your kids. Take delight in them. Listen, some of them, that's what you prayed for them to show up. Now that they're here, hey, they were an answer to prayer. So listen, dads and moms, put the phone down, okay? Dinner time, hey, put the screens down, look each other in the eye, and talk to each other. Find out how your kids are doing. Talk to them, love on them, encourage them. Be there for them. Let them know you're in tune with them. You care about them because that's the picture of your heavenly Father today. Oh, he's not looking at a screen. He's looking at you. He's very attentive to you, tuned in to you. And listen, you may not have had that experience. I know for Rochelle, she didn't have that experience. That her earthly father, when her mother was 6 months pregnant with her, left. Chose somebody else to be with. And listen, when that happens, and it happens, there are about 40% of American homes are fatherless. And that's not including the ones that are absent while they're in the home. Okay, and what that can do, and as I was getting ready for this message, I just looked over how different kids react. And some kids absorb that as personal rejection. You know, why didn't my dad want me? Why did he act so mean? Why can't I ever earn that love and whatever, and it's just a personal rejection in their lives that you get to deal with. And some boys, they said, psychologists said, it can lead to aggressive, skewed masculinity because they got to prove something. My dad left me, but check this out. And sometimes that's why boys will go into gangs because they need that male affirmation. They need somebody to say, "Hey, you're all right. You can be with us. You can hang with us." There's this fear of aloneness. You know, somebody who was supposed to love me left me. Why won't somebody else do that? And for girls, many times they feel a loss because they don't respect themselves because their dad didn't respect them. He didn't stay around. And so they look for that in other ways. All those are negative things that happen. But listen, that happened through earthly fathers. Jesus says your heavenly Father is the opposite of that. He is the opposite of that. If your father bolted on you or left you, listen, I'm sorry for that, but check this out. Our everlasting Father, maybe you need to write this down, is always there. He's always there, Look at this verse. I love this verse. Maybe some of you, you need to highlight this verse. You need to memorize this verse. Some of you already have. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I love that. And what I love about it is he has to say never twice. See, because maybe you didn't catch it the first time. Maybe you didn't pick up on this, but never will I leave you. And then he says, and never will I forsake you. And hey, I looked up in the original language what never means, and it means never. Okay? Okay? There's never, ever, ever a time that God says there's no time that can possibly exist when I will not be there for you. I will absolutely be there anytime that you need me, all the time, all the time. And I can remember as a dad, and you know, you feel protective and everything, and at least I felt that way. And I remember one time Alexis was a toddler and she was toddling around in our living room when we lived up by Chicago area. And she fell in our living room and she hit her head on the brick of the fireplace. And so I'm like over there and everything. And it really wasn't as bad as what I acted like, okay? Once I got there and saw the damage and everything. But, oh, my goodness, I didn't want her to cry. I didn't want her to be upset. I didn't want... So I'm just hugging her. It's like she got her head half cut off or whatever, you know. And I'm just loving on her. I'm just saying, oh, baby, you know, it'll be all right. Oh, daddy's got you. You know, oh, you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. And I'm just saying all these things to her to try to calm her down. And listen, there may be somebody here today that you need the everlasting arms of your heavenly Father to come around you today and say, listen, it's going to be okay. I've got you. I said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I'll be with you always. There's no place you can go where I will not be there for you. Oh, here today, if you need the Father to wrap his arms around you, I guarantee you he's here today to do exactly that in your life. Because that might be you. You're going through something. Maybe you banged yourself. Maybe the world hit you and maybe you've got scars and you've got things and things that have happened, but I want you to just go to the Father today who will say, never, 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 never will I leave you. Others may have left you. They should have been there for you, but I'm here right now for you. Look at what it says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. I got to read this verse again because, again, this is one of my favorite verses, and we read it last week. We got to read it again this week. Zephaniah 3, 17. The Lord will rejoice over you with gladness. Oh, I'm so happy to see you today. Oh, I'm so happy to see you worship today. Oh, I'm so happy that you came to church today. Oh, I'm so glad that you put me first. Oh, I'm so glad that you're calling on my name. Oh, thank you that you're reaching out to me today. That's what he's saying. And then look at what he will do. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Again, this is an amazing verse. It's not amazing that I would sing to God. It's amazing that he would sing to me. Sing over me, just like a parent. You ever sing to your kids? Yeah. Rockabye Baby or something. You know, just sing a song to them. Maybe it calmed them down. And you know, the amazing thing is when God breathed into man, it says he breathed life into him. Another translation of that word breathe can be sing, that he sang over them. So in other words, when he created man, he sang into him. He put a song in you. And we know that all of creation sings. They've recorded, you can Google this, not right now, okay, but you can Google this, and the sun, the energy of the sun makes a sound. All of creation, there's sounds that come from the living things. And when the scripture says the trees clap, there's some reality to when the leaves blow, and when the clapping of the oceans happens, all of it is making a sound. And what it is, it's like all of us were singing back to the one who sang to us. Isn't that amazing? That's the science of it. And here, God says, I'm singing over you. Oh, I want to calm you down today. I want to assure you today. I'm sorry you had that experience, but oh, would you just come to me? All you who are burdened, all you who are full of hurt and suffering, would you just come to me and I will give you rest. I will love you. I like what one guy said. He said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. I mean, put a lot of stuff on your refrigerator from your kids, and some drawings and different things. Listen. Even if you left him and walked away from him, if you spurned him, if you cursed him and walked away, God says, I'm still not leaving you. I'm still not leaving you. If you said, well, you know, I'm just going to go and I'm going to leave church and I'm going to leave God and I'm going to go pursue something else, and God says, I'm still going to go with you. I'm going with you. Or if you said, well, I'm just never going to praise God. I'm going to curse God. God says, oh, you can do whatever you want to do, but I'm still here. Because he took all that abuse. He took all the pain. He was tortured for our sake. He could have chose a better option, like maybe your dad who left thought, well, I like this option better. Listen, God had a better option, but he couldn't do it. He said, no, I've got to go. I've got to save them. Even if it costs me everything, I'll reach out to them with my last breath, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, the love of your heavenly Father is what your soul really craves. That's what it wants. And I'm so glad Isaiah said he's an everlasting Father. Because let's face it, no matter how good your father was, we all pass. Right? We all pass. I had a funeral yesterday of someone, and the kids were crying, and it was so tough to know that dad's gone. It's a good dad, you know. They were sad about that. But listen, the everlasting Father never dies. Are you getting this? Thank you. He never disappoints. He never forsakes. He never leaves. And he never dies. He's the Father that you've been searching for, maybe. He's the Father that all of us crave. He's the one that when you come to him, he can even heal the father issues of your life that you've suffered in this life. So that if you were hurt by an earthly father, listen, I've seen it. He can give the power to forgive, the power to heal. And if you're a dad here today and you say, well, I had no idea what I was signing up for, you know, how many are with me on that? Like, you didn't know all that it was going to pull from you. And you say, and I just feel like I'm not enough. I'm not enough. Here's the reality. You're not. And if you're trying to be super dad, almighty dad, that, you know, Mr. Fantastic, that can just do it all, listen, no matter how hard you try, you're going to disappoint at some point because you're human. And that's why the best thing you can do as an earthly father is point your kids to their heavenly Father. Point them to him, because he never disappoints. He never makes mistakes. He always, always is there. He's compassionate, gracious, and full of love. Let's pray. Father, for those today that maybe just need healing in their soul, I pray that you'll provide that healing. You're a compassionate, gracious, loving God. And Lord, today we acknowledge that in this place. Oh, if you need rest from the Father, if you came into this place and you're weary, or you're beaten down, or the life's just been tough on you maybe recently, or maybe you're just stressed, or maybe this time of the year it's just hard or difficult or whatever. If you just need the hug of your heavenly Father, you need the love of your God, your Father, to come upon you today, would you just reach up toward him right now? Just reach your hands up toward the Lord. Father, oh, just love on everybody in this room. God, would you just surround us, just wrap us up in your love today. We thank you that you'll never forsake us. You'll never abandon us. That you'll be with us no matter what we're going through. And God, for those who are going through something today, I pray that your love will just surround them, just encourage them, whisper in their ear, let them know, I'm there, I'm with you, I'm not leaving you, I've got your back, I've got you today, I'll carry you. Lord, we want to hear your words today as our Heavenly Father, our everlasting. If there's somebody here today that maybe you don't have that kind of relationship with God, maybe it's because you walked out on God, just like I was talking about. Maybe you walked out on God, but I'm just here to tell you, God never walked out on you. He's been there all the time, waiting for this moment, waiting for right now. If you just pray to him, if you just come back to him, oh, he's just ready for you to turn your attention toward him today. And if you're here in this room and either you've walked away from God, or maybe you say, I've never really had that kind of relationship with a heavenly Father in my life, I want you to know that is the heavenly Father that God says He is. So if maybe your view of God was skewed and it kept you away from God, I'm sorry that happened. But today, let the true picture of God draw you to Him. And if you're here this morning, you say, yes, yes, I want that relationship with my Heavenly Father. Would you just raise a hand all over this room? Yeah. Yeah, just raise it up in this room today online. Just type the word decided in the chat, and we're going to be praying for you as well. Come on, church family, let's pray this prayer so that those who raised a hand will pray it with confidence. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me, to pay for all my sin so I can be forgiven. Today, I declare Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And as much as I know how, I surrender all to you. Thank you for coming into my life and giving me a new start today. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, come on, let's praise God for those who prayed that prayer. Wow, it's awesome. And listen, God's going to start working in your life in a powerful way. On the communication or connection cards that you filled out earlier, there's a box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ. If you feel like you made a first commitment to Christ today, check that box. And if you say, well, I kind of had that, but I walked away from it, but today I walked back. Just check that box that says I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. Put that card in the bucket or else take it over to the Welcome Center if you're newer and you haven't been over there, wherever it needs to go today, take it there and we'll be praying for you and believing God for you. There's going to be an elder in the Next Steps room after the service is dismissed. It's right across the hall. If you'd like to know how to get in on the last baptism of the year that's coming up in just a couple weeks, or you'd like to know more about life groups or any other thing, any other next step to help you, they would love to help you over there. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray a prayer of dismissal. I'm going to ask prayer partners to come forward at this time. Listen, if God stirred something in you today and you say, I need to pray with somebody, I need somebody to pray for me before I leave this place, these folks would love to pray with you or pray for you before you leave today. So let me pray over you right now. Father, use us this week again to show the Father's love to this community. Lord, we know especially at this time of the year that people are maybe more sensitive than ever to an invitation to come to church. So God, use us this week to reach somebody else. Holy Spirit, draw every person to you who needs prayer. Draw them down here at the altar to receive the prayer that they need. And God, use us all this week in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen.